the future since 1995. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. How we looked at the future in our past tells us a great deal about who we were when we were looking forward, according to Lawrence R. Samuel in his new book, Future, A Recent History. Samuel looks at five distinct eras of American futurism. In part two of my interview with Samuel, we discuss the most recent era from 1995 to the present. Samuel says perhaps the most important American futurist of recent times is, get ready for this, Al Gore, because his thoughts on climate change are bold.
He's got a premise, and he's going out on a limb, and he's being brave about it and having some courage in an area that very few people ventured. You know, it's real easy to talk about the next gadget, you know, the next gizmo that might come along and what and how it'll be good for society. But he's doing something that really might have implications for whether or not we're going to be around in 50 years or not. So to me, that's a much bigger idea than, you know, what Internet 2 is going to be like.
The other futurist you find really interesting is Ray Kurzweil, the inventor and proponent of this idea of sort of the merging of man and machine, to sort of simplify it a little bit, and this idea that we can really extend life, perhaps into the permanent, never die kind of era. What do you find important about Kurzweil?
Well, he's the clearest articulator of this common trope of the merger of man and machine that has been in futurism really for the last, you know, 100 or 200 years even. I think it probably goes back to Verne or Wells. That you could arguably say that our greatest fear and our greatest hope is in this domain of man coming together with machine, that we would sort of merge at some point. And now, as we get closer to this actually happening with embedding chips in our brains and all that, he's really leading the wave of the idea right now as it happens.
What effect did the coming of the year 2000 have on our conception of the future near the end of last century?
Beginning in the 50s, we became very conscious of things, you know, less than 50 years away, and the countdown, you know, began in earnest. I would say maybe in the late 80s when it became clear that we were really going to get there in one piece. And when we finally did get close to it, it became filled with both utopian and dystopian, you know, scenarios, particularly the Y2K thing, which was our version of what happened 1,000 years earlier when there was great fears that the world would end at the year 1000.
Yeah, should we be embarrassed over how we looked at that whole Y2K bug thing?
I think it was pretty embarrassing. I think it just showed how much we think about the future and worry about the future and think the future will be entirely different than today, when in fact it's a lot like today. You know, we sort of project way too much of change that will happen either positively or negative, and that was just sort of the most egregious example. Steve Martin, you know, the comedian, wrote an article for The New Yorker, and he wrote an article about Y3K, and I could pull this from the book. He said, many scientists are beginning to express concern over the tridecta blighter function, whose circuitry was not programmed to accommodate the year 3000. So he was really in on the joke very early.
Lawrence R. Samuel, author of Future, A Recent History. This is Future Tense. I'm John Gordon.